So I always look at a story from primarily from the structure of the story. And let me tell you that Genesis 29 is a love story. When you start into this, it's like the first two acts of a rom-com, a romantic comedy. Boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, we come to the first conflict, I get across that conflict, that's one. Act two, boy figures out how to get around the conflict, and then there's a bigger conflict. Generally, in Act 3, everything was resolved. And everyone's happy after, ever after, right? I mean, by lots of Hallmark ornaments, right? But this is not, we know this is not a chick flick. Oh, my daughter hates that. This is not a romance. This is part of a much larger epic story. And as such, we know that there are many, many layers to go in. Including that sliver our salvation. That's what we've been talking about. So let's begin with this. First of all, the person who is proclaimed to be the hero, generally in a comedy or a melodrama, starts at a low point. And then by the end, they're at a higher point. Whether that's an achievement of physical goods or greater knowledge or better sense of self, whatever that happens to be. And we do see that Jacob, as we start 29, we know started on a long journey. He has used trickery and lies twice to get around his brother, his twin brother, and his father has sent him on a journey, saying, "Hey, you better get out of here." No, he sends him on a journey because he says, "I don't really want you to marry me. Your brother married two of them, and they've got nothing but problems with your mother, Rebecca. Go back to Laban, to our family. And marry him so that when you come back, you don't have the right to take the life." And so we see that here, where he started, down here in Beersheba, and then he went to Bethel, where he had a dream where God promised that he would protect him. And the rock that he was using as a pillow, he set up and poured oil over and sanctified that and called it Bethel, house of God. As he assumed, as God talked to me there, that must be the opening to heaven, right? I grew up in a church called Bethel. So, anyway. And then he goes 540 miles up to his. And later, not in 29, I think in 30, or maybe 31, he says to Laban, "I came here with only a stick in my hand when I crossed the river." So he has nothing. That's the problem. They continued on his way and went toward the land of the clearly northeast, north of them. Oh, there's the path right there. Suddenly, after 540 miles, suddenly he came upon a well out in the field with three flocks of sheep lying around. The flocks were watered from this well. It had a large stone over the ocean. Now that was not unusual. Enemies often would call a well for just having dirt and debris. So having a cover over is not an. Here, they're rolling the cover away in this picture, and it reminds us very much of the kingdom, our Lord and Savior. And what was the cry? Life. And what's inside this? Water, which is life. The true water is yet to come, but this is the first symbol of that. Whenever the flocks came together there, the shepherds would roll the stone back and water them. And then they would put the stone back in place. Jacob asked the shepherds, "My friends, where are you from?" "From Haran," they answered. He said, "Do you know Laban, grandson Nahor?" "Yes, we do," they answered. "He," three right in my way, "he is well," they answered. "Look, here comes his daughter Rachel with his flock." Jacob said, "Since it's still broad daylight and not yet time to bring the flock in, why don't you water them and take them back out to the pasture?" They answered, "We can't do that until all the flocks are here," family herd members go off, "and the stone's been rolled back. Then we will water the flock." While Jacob was still talking with them, Rachel arrived with the flock. And when Jacob saw Rachel with his uncle Laban's flock, he went to the well, rolled the stone back, and watered the sheep. And then he kissed her and began to cry for joy. He told her, "I am your father's relative, the son of Rebekah." And she ran to tell her father. I would too if a strange man came up and started kissing on me. She ran to tell her father. And when he heard the news about his nephew Jacob, he ran to meet him, hugged him, and kissed him, and brought him into his house. He was already gone up a little bit, right? When Jacob told Laban everything that had happened, Laban said, "Yes, indeed, you are my own flesh and blood." Jacob stayed there a whole month. Laban said to Jacob, "You shouldn't work for me for nothing just because you are my relative. How much pay do you want?" Now, knowing the nature of Laban, I kind of wonder too. Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah, and the younger, Rachel. Now, I have an affinity. "Oh, you're going to look like me." Why? Because the word rock is often translated as peace. And a matter of fact, you can see really life. I don't know if you can see. The different names, the different words, which are translated out of rock. It says in more versions than any other that that word is translated as peace. I don't think that's appropriate. Now, I just, that's me. I'm not an expert in Hebrew. But looking at that word, which is a feminine adjective, and so it often means soft or kind or gentle or tender. It was translated as a Greek. So when I first read that as a kid, I thought, oh, he had bad eyes like me. And I had the word glass, so in my glass. So maybe that's why he's not out there. He's a goat. But there are other ways in which it is translated. Tender, tender eyes, delicate, lovely, nice, attractive. But then there's some weirder words too, like didn't sparkle? Where did that come from? Ordinary? Bleary? As I look at this word that is used in over 50 places in the Old Testament, it generally describes some gift of God and how wonderful that is. So when it says, and I'm reading from the Good News version, Rachel had lovely eyes, but, or Leah had lovely eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. It reminds me of like a buddy trying to get you to go on a blind date. You know, oh, you like her. She has a great personality. Maybe she's not so attractive. And that's what they get. Rachel wants to be beautiful. And what are your words? Delicate. I think that's it. Size, which reveals something about the person. Leah looks a bad laugh. Because the anarchy that comes later between Leah and Rachel is elevated by Rachel. Not by Leah. So I want to keep that in mind, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I think I find this very interesting that the word here is so he said, I will work 7 years for you, and you will let me marry, if you will let me marry Rachel. And Laban answered, I'd rather give her to you than to anyone else, because we're surrounded by Assyrians or Proto-Assyrians. Stay here with me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get as much work out of you as I can. Right? That's good. Yeah. Yes, Jacob is the one that suggests, but yes, it is. So that's really the end of Act One. And now we go to commercial, and we learn all about our insurance agent. And the car one. So Act 2 starts with, so Jacob worked 7 years so he could have Rachel. And if we were doing this as a TV movie, we'd now have a montage to kick off Act 2. Really jaunty music and short little clips of Jacob working like a demon, right? And getting furtively going up to go to Rachel. Now remember, Jacob's still kind of a callow youth. Since Guy referred to him as a soy boy. And 7 years of working in the field hard as a dog, probably his beard grew out, his muscles grew, he got a healthy glow on his skin from the sun. And why did he do this? in like only a few days. That's why the montage, you can do a quick little clip to it and get to it really fast. It seems like a Then Jacob said to Laban, "The time is up. Let me marry your daughter." Looks like we're going to have a happy ending, right? So Laban gave a wedding feast and invited everyone. Some of your versions say all the men. Some of them say all the men of the world, because the men gave them. Everyone in the neighborhood. So what do you do at a wedding feast? A lot of food. A lot of drink. And they were standing like one. But that night, here's what we have, we call the reverse ending. That night, instead of Rachel, he took Leah to Jacob. And Jacob had intercourse. Must have been really dark. Really a lot of wine, right? And what's amazing is he didn't change. So who, I mean, really, was he complicit in this? Or was it just because Dad said so? Laban gave the slave woman to his mom, his daughter Leah. Now, why is it that he waited for the man? Not until the next morning, did Jacob discover that it was Leah. He went to Laban, and he must have been just hopping mad, and said, "Wait a minute. Why did you do this to me? I worked to get Rachel. Why have you tricked me?" Laban answered, "It is not the custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older. I tell you that why didn't they bring it up 7 years ago? Right? Jacob says later, he says, "You changed the contract 10 times on me." He says it twice. He says, "Laban, you changed the contract on me. 10 times you changed it on me." Including the so is it the custom now? Is it custom in foreign? But not in the case. Shakespeare uses that as a plot device. Where Kate Gilder is wrestling. It's not the custom here. Would it have been the custom to tell me beforehand? Wait until the week's marriage celebrations are over. And all my guests are gone. I mean, that's not what it says. And I will give you Rachel if you will work for me another 7 years. So he's putting Rachel on layaway and giving him 7. Jacob agreed. What place would he have? And when the week of marriage celebrations were over, Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban gave his slave woman Bilhah to his daughter Rachel. Jacob consummated his marriage with Rachel. He loved her more than Leah. Then he worked for Laban. Seven children with her, but you know, well, part of it. Now, when the Lord saw that Leah was loved less than Rachel, he made her able to bear children, but Rachel remained. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son and named him Reuben. See, a son. Jacob, look, a son. I gave you a son. For she said, because the Lord has seen my humiliation and suffering, now my husband will love me since I have given him a son. What did she see? This is the beginning of that week. What did she see? Outside of grief, she became pregnant again. She gave birth to another son. He said, because the Lord heard that I am unloved, he has given me his son also, if he named him Simeon. Laban. That's not the way. Once again, she became pregnant and gave birth to another son. She said, now my husband will be bound more tightly to me because I have bore him 3 sons. So she named him Levi. Never says that Rachel loved Jacob. It never really says that Leah loved Jacob. But that Leah wanted Jacob's love. Now, something. Leah is a special. Through Jacob, God would send son who would sin. Here is where the thread goes through the eye of ahead. My voice. What version do you have? Okay. I don't I my super groovy hippie version I left out in my car. So 49 versus what? Okay. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. Good question. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Until Shiloh comes, and to him that he be obedient. And then Leah stopped having children for a bit until we get mandrake roots going on. Let me see a few more things. But that is. So here are some of the lessons that, and this is what I take away. I want to hear what you guys think. First of all, deception is not so subtitled this for those around comes in. And I chose Galatians 6 and 7. We know from Proverbs. God works through imperfection. I know God has worked through my imperfection. In my life, there's been no mistake left unmade. I've made so many mistakes in my life, and God has always come back and said, the lesson to God is that he didn't just give one birth. He did many, 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 many times as he said to us, hey, wake up. And here's one of them. My grace is sufficient for you. When my power is made perfect in weakness. Many times. No, this is what I'm going to do. This is the way I want to do it. And Greg brought it up in the sermon. faith in God. Perfect. God's timing is perfect. I brought this up earlier, and I did quote this from Habakkuk, but there are many others. Though the appointed time delays, wait for it, because it will surely come. God delays. I was paraphrasing. You Brady service is a sickening thing. It's wrong sacrifice. Consider it your joy. Why would I want to suffer? My dad says, go walk the beam out in the 100-degree heat on a Nebraska summer and cut the buttonweeds out of the beans? Come on. Oh, the Poggle Bird. And the Shatterpane. And this is, come on. Then you face Kyle. Best choices aren't always the most obvious. Mark Twain wrote. Self-worth is God. You think David has whatever you do, look at it all the time. Why are you making it? we still have 4 minutes? Oh my goodness. Well, what? Oh, sorry. Oh, you're writing them down. I'm sorry. It's this is gonna be, this is on the PowerPoint is available. All the ones that I've done. That's a good point. I'm not saying it's a good, but it also might have been. You could have also had that. Like being adored by all these men around, Syrian men around. Drag me 500 miles away to a land I've never been before. Because after the first seven, then another seven, and then another six to raise enough spotted and striped goats. Well, that's an excellent illustration, the web of Laban, because I think Laban would have just loved to have Jacob to stay there and just work for him as a hired hand. And then, eventually, all the children would have been working for him. He would have had a corporation. But that's not what God intended. The people of David, he's not Israel yet, but people were promised to Abraham, Isaac, then at Bethel, Egypt. Yes. Well, that's where, when I say the best choice is not the most obvious, sometimes we look at things, well, yeah, I would do that. That is awesome. Want to go back to one thing that Greg had pointed out, and that is the nature. I don't feel a big thunder, but when Jacob leaves, he asks them, "Where to go?" And they say, "Yeah, there's nothing for it there." They don't say, "We're obeying God, we're following you. We love you, we're following you." Yeah, there's nothing for it there. A little bit. Yeah, I think that as flawed as Jacob is, his faithfulness in general, Leah and Rachel, believe that too. I'm just in studying this, I was thinking, I think my wife is gonna No. Okay. But the thing is that every thaw, every wrinkle, every fold, all the white hair. I find that beautiful because that's all is part of her story. And that's part of my story. Now, my wife, when I first met my wife, water, you can't stop them. They're gonna rush toward the lake. Babylon. I think she's in better health now. Recovery of it. Well, and then Ashley Rodriguez. Well, I hate to ask you, but yeah, Andy, I'll do it like that. Yes, no, no.